Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hiya, before we get into this podcast, please consider joining us on Red Men Plus. We have tons of amazing content coming out every single day in both podcast and video form. So get over there and sign up today. Now back to your podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men Podcast. We're continuing our 500,000 subscriber celebrations with a host of special podcasts and special podcast guests, and we're kicking them off with Adam Rowe and Alfie Brown joining us for this one. Fit and fresh, boys.
Yeah, we feel really good. We definitely have more than 3 hours sleep. I don't know what you're talking about.
And how many more pints than that did you have last night?
Well, we were not going to have a pint last night.
The pints to sleep ratio was not optimal. It was great. And actually, the adrenaline and joy of being here is more than enough to alleviate any of the ill effects of the teens of Guinness that were consumed.
And I can hear it in the joy in the tone of your voice.
Look, I don't want to oversell it. I'm trying to calm down.
Right, Sam, we're going to be talking Nottingham Forest, unfortunately. We're going to be talking about how we're coping with Liverpool's crapness and a lot of other things in between, of course. But we've got a kickoff question, which comes from one of our Club Legend subscribers, Quad Bod, who asks, which LFC player, past or present, would make the best stand up? He reckons Bruce Grobbelaar would do bits. I've been on tour with Bruce Grobbelaar, and I can tell you he's a very entertaining human being.
But is he?
Yeah. I mean, shockingly, Bruce Grobbelaar, the most charismatic man ever to grace planet Earth. Fascinating person. But as two stand up comics, you know, we've themed this perfectly.
Have you?
Yeah.
Karl-Heinz Riedler.
Wow. Just because you like his name.
But no, I think he always had a good sense of self-awareness. He never oversold himself. like Grobbelaar, yeah, sure. Yeah, you know, you're obviously a good stand-up. Grobbelaar's a clown. Grobbelaar's one of those irritating, like, he's like aping with the audience, kind of going, "Ah, yeah, bro, I do a bit and I'm a funny man, yeah."
That literally couldn't be more accurate.
Whereas Karl-Heinz Riedler would be very stoic and go, "I've got a few jokes. I'm funny," but he's not going to like chew your ear off at a party going, "Guess what I do?"
He's going to deliver a line, and then the silence after he delivers it is what's going to sell the laughs, is kind of what you're saying. It's like, you're going to find this funny because you've got no choice but to laugh.
There's also a degree of humility you need as a stand-up, I think, that Karl-Heinz Riedler possesses.
How do you boys work out with that level of humility, by the way?
I'm so humble.
I'm fucking humble.
I'm so humble.
And nobody's ever been
You'd
more
be hard, humble. You'd be hard-pressed to meet a more humble pair of guys than us. The humility in us is 20. It really is.
I think of the current players, it'd be Robertson or Tsimikas.
Yeah.
Tsimikas, obviously, like, the squad seemed to love him. Even when he wasn't playing, it felt like if we sold him, the squad would have been like, "What? No, what are you doing? No. We need him."
Yeah. There'll be a mutiny if you let that Greek boat go.
Well, people talk about, like, what does James Milner bring off the pitch? Well, Milner's bringing the discipline. Look, he's raising the levels. But you don't really get to see it. It all happens behind closed doors. Tsimikas is the comedy equivalent of that, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's windmilling his dick around, like, in the showers, and everyone's going, "Oh my God,
what's that again?"
Also, something about the, like, genetics of his face, it means he always looks like he's just been out with us.
Yes. Yeah. He would very much fit in perfectly.
I would be so annoyed if my cardio was at that level. I was at that little a body fat percentage, and yet I still look knackered the entire time. Like, what? That's so unfair.
Yeah. Maybe he's like that. He's like genetically needs to go the other way, and he'll finish up, and he'll get dead fat, and his face will fill out, and he'll and it'll like
yeah.
His sunken eyes will come forward.
He needs
a little
his cheeks
bit.
To catch up to his eye bags.
Yeah.
That's what we've done.
I agree with that. I think Robbo seems to be a safe. He comes up in more answers than you'd imagine for when people ask random Liverpool questions because, like, he just genuinely seems like well, he is a genuinely boss fella. He would be quite funny.
And yeah, he's
do you
good.
Know a lot of footballers seem like dead boring and dull? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like in interviews and whatever, they just come across as like a clone.
Yeah,
and he doesn't.
Yeah,
and that's why he comes up in these conversations because he's just a normal Scottish lad. And like I think, especially for Scousers, who, you know, I think we've got quite a bit of an affinity with Glasgow and Scotland in general and Newcastle as a city. I think he's endeared to Scousers by just being quite normal.
Yeah,
and just being like, yeah, we were good today. Yeah, they're good, play well. And
it's that tweet he did about having no money.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? When he had the tweet about having, oh, I wish having no money is shit. And suddenly he's, you know, playing left back on whatever he is a week and his life is, yeah, there's an incredible set. He's funny as well. But you see in the interviews like that people do or that Liverpool put out themselves that he's got a good sense of humour on him. Reina, I think, is another good shout.
Pepe Reina is, again, he's another one of those ginormously charismatic fellas. I mean, when they absolutely ruined Cesc Fabregas on stage after they won, was that the Euros? And they put him forced him into a Barcelona shirt on stage because for shits and giggles, basically.
Yeah.
I reckon Pepe would be good. I'd be interested to see, and I think it would be probably one of the worst experiences of everyone's lives, is a Bobby Firmino performance art piece. Kind of like in Spaced, where David Walliams is like a non-gender, non-binary, indescript guy, and he's got like he puts this performance art on, and it's one of those things where a lot of chin strokers are turn up. You know what I mean? And like, you obviously don't understand what he's going for right now, and it's like,
small lensless glasses.
Oh, yeah,
and he's like in a purple kind of latex bodysuit.
Yeah.
With his hair all done proper,
absolutely.
That's a good shout.
I can imagine
Bobby Firmino like running a gallery when he finishes.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, I can't ever see him being a pundit.
Yeah,
but Firmino's galleries.
Art.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like people shitting themselves in the corner and like you know, what I mean, smearing it on the walls. And like, you know that kind of stuff.
But
like,
what's he trying to say?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What's the deeper meaning here, guys?
No, he's literally wrote "fuck off" in shit. Yeah. Quite clearly.
Oh no! That's just someone who's broken.
Help me,
security.
Yeah. Next door, you can see a child trying to eat some house keys. Yeah. What does it mean? Oh, it's about restlessness. What?
Yeah.
Just pay the money.
Yeah, absolutely. Bobby's made up for that all day. Let us know your answer to that in the comments underneath. Hello to all you wonderful podcast listeners. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is an absolutely spellbinding show. We would strongly appreciate it if you guys would consider joining us on RevMen Plus. If you like the podcast that you get for free in your podcasting app, then you can get more on RevMen Plus. Podcasts, interviews, documentaries, and a whole host more as well. And if you're on Spotify, you can also subscribe straight in the Spotify app for RevMen Plus podcasts. But if you want the full hit, head over to redmenplus.com and join us on another magical season. Right, and the fact, yeah, we've got them here, lads. You've both had a little look at them. You're suitably impressed.
Yeah, I prefer the Believer one personally. Yeah. The parody of the Carlsberg logo.
Yeah,
very good.
The richer tones would suit your colouring. I think, a little bit better.
Green does look good on me.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying that from a point of no. I can see it. I know what looks good on you.
Get ordered. The Christmas jumpers are available now. They'll be in very limited numbers. Pre-orders are open now. So, and I've said this in numerous places. It's October. I know. I haven't had a severe blow to the head. I'm well aware that it's October. I'm well aware that we haven't done Halloween and we haven't done Bonfire Night yet, but I'm also aware that there are people in the world and are you guys these people who are so hyper organized? I know the answer to this already. So hyper organized.
You know,
beat the rush and you'll beat the crowds and you're there, you know, like, so when tickets come available, you're there in the queue, or, you know, when you want to get. No.
No.
For tickets and stuff, like I can be quite like I'll set an alarm on my phone. Oh, tickets go on sale for this.
Bearing in mind that I saw that you were advertising for a personal assistant this week.
So. Yeah, yeah.
You're much more organised than I think you give yourself credit for. I mean, you've booked your dog into the groomers. Like, there's all sorts going on with you that you're a proper adult.
Wow. Yeah, but so much gets missed as well.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely have never paid a water bill. There's going to be a problem at some point.
Someone's going to notice at some point.
Like, if I get a letter and it's got United Utilities on the envelope, why would I open that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not good news, is it?
I've got
congratulations. You've used so little water. We're going to give you some money.
Yeah. I think I've got what could, you know, easily be described as a wad of letters from HMRC.
Yes.
Like a big wad of... Yeah. And I think... They want me to pay my tax from last year, but I couldn't be sure. I think that's what they're after, is some tax.
It feels in their wheelhouse.
Yeah, it feels like the sort of thing they do. So I think that answers that question.
Yeah, getting tickets and stuff. If I know, like, if I don't get these between 9 and 9:10, I can be quite good with that stuff. But, like, Christmas, I will be shopping on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. I like
the vibe of shopping on Christmas Eve, but all I'm saying is if you want one of them jumpers and you want one on Christmas Eve, you're fucked. So get one pre-ordered.
The absolute one of the best pints in the world is the Christmas Eve pint when you've just finished your last bit
of
shopping.
That's an amazing pint.
Like, you've bought the last thing and you just like, right, we can have a pint. And you sit in a pub with a shit lot. It doesn't even need to be a good one. It can be a Carlsberg and it tastes like the joy.
Yeah, the best Christmas shop ever was back in the day, back in the student days, where I didn't have lots of people around me and all that. So I went to HMV and they had like a 3 DVD for £20 sale. Uh-huh. And I basically managed to use that times two to buy all of my Christmas presents in one hit, and also come home with the aforementioned season 1 and 2 of Spaced. So it was a fucking that was a great Christmas shop and a half. That, like,
yeah, Boots is great for that. When you've just ran out of ideas and you're like, do you know what? Everyone needs to get a bath every now and then.
Isn't it weird that you all the presents that you buy for your mum are things that she uses when she's naked?
My mum's dead, Alfie, so I don't know.
That makes it even weirder, really, just to be honest.
That makes Christmas Eve easier, I suppose.
Get that pint half an hour early.
Yeah. No need to go into Crabtree and Evelyn today. All right, please. Thanks, mum.
Let's go for a drink. It's what you wanted.
Right, sounds. Okay, well, listen. let's lighten the mood by talking about Liverpool losing to Nottingham Forest. We went down
to Forest. I bumped into Adam eating a hot dog. It was a great moment.
I wasn't expecting to be asked to talk.
You very briefly
had a hot dog in my mouth.
Cameoed on the Underground podcast, which was very much not Underground for reasons we'll explain. Ultimately, because you're not meant to lose Nottingham Forest.
Nope.
And what's meant to happen in any away game situation is the home fans get off and generally the away fans are either kept in or they'll hang around. No. They won. They played all of the 90s party hits.
Yeah.
And the whole ground bounced for half an hour while we all sort of skulked off and away, which is why we ended up recording outside. I want to talk about how horrible their fans are in a bit. We want to get through a little bit of the game first, though. But Adam, ultimately this season is just going to be brutal. It's going to be brutal. And if you need any more evidence, we just beat Manchester City last week and had the greatest, you know, feeling in our lives. Beat West Ham and then you lose to Nottingham Forest, who, let's be honest, have been absolutely arsed this season.
Yeah. I was 100% convinced after the West Ham win that we were going to win the league.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I was like, oh. I received a text to that effect.
I was like, oh, it's all fine and we're going to, like, they figured it out.
Yeah.
The system works now. Darwin Nunez, he'll catch Haaland up, like, in a couple of weeks. It's all just going to be fine. We're going to win the league, probably get to the Champions League final again, and then it's a toss-up. You just never know with that. And, it's all going to be great. And it all came very much crashing down to earth with a defeat to Forest. You can understand it with the... A depleted squad, third game in 6 days. He's also got Ajax coming up. And I think, do you remember a couple of years ago, the first time we got to the Champions League final when we were shite in the league?
Yeah.
And at the end of the season, Jürgen was like, oh, we said to the players early on, we've got a much better chance in Europe. He's on record saying that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they've had that conversation.
This early?
Yeah. Where he's gone, right, look,
we're not going to catch them now. Look what he's doing. Like, we've got to go for them next season. Let's get ourselves in the top four. But we can take our foot off the gas a little bit there. Because I think a big thing that's... Because I changed my mind last week when we beat City and West Ham. Mm-hmm. I thought a big thing that was playing a part in Liverpool's struggles this season is, for the past like 4 or 5 years, they've been 100 mile an hour trying to compete with Manchester City. And let's be honest, failing to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as good as it's been as fans, they haven't won. And for the players, that's all they care about. They don't care that we had a great day out in Villarreal.
Yeah.
They're not asked. Yeah. They want the trophy and nothing else. So that last year's Champions League run, as great as it was for me and for you and for all the other fans, for the players, that's a bad year. Yeah. They've got bad memories of last season. So I think they've put all that effort in. And can you imagine what that is like, playing in a Jurgen Klopp system for years, pushing yourself to your physical limit, and then you walk out of it with a Carabao Cup and an FA Cup and defeating the two you actually wanted. I think the amount of effort that's took mentally and physically, I think this year they've lost a couple and gone, oh, thank fuck we don't actually have to do that again because we can't win it. And I think them having a little relax in the league and focusing on Europe might be the plan.
I imagine that, like, trophy, because I love the trophy parade and I love how the smiles and I've turned everyone's mood, but I imagine if you're like a born winner, it's a bit like, just to stupidly show on a comedy, you know, referencing, because you used to hear, which I wouldn't do if you weren't, but like, you know, when you see like amazing comedians who've reached that point and now they're doing arena shows and they don't need to really do anything because you can just go through your greatest hits and people will laugh, but you're going, you might have a bad show and you know you've had a bad show, but everyone's still laughing and clapping and cheering you on. You're like, oh, don't applaud that. That was that was shite.
Yeah.
I just, there's defo still that, I don't know, there's a combination, isn't there, of your injuries. You can't take that away. And it's hard because you look at Forest now. Look, we had the team up on the board before. In fact, it's still there. Like, Carvalho, Firmino, Salah, Elliott. You know, what was it? Curtis Jones and Fabinho in midfield. And you go through all the names, and individually it sounds. But I don't know. There is a point where when you start to take boss players out of a team, eventually you don't notice it. It's still your team, and you still own those players. But that's how you go from being boss to crap. Is that just those little the death of a thousand cuts of reducing the quality?
Yeah, you're not asking us any of those players individually starting.
No.
But then when you look at it, looking at that right now, it looks ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, there's the, I mean, like, the drop-off in Fabinho's form has been, like, startling and an absolutely incredible thing to behold that makes you go, oh, he must have been, like, is somebody after him or something? Yeah. Is he, like, has he not paid his water bill? Has he got United Utilities after him? Like, has he got HMRC talking to him? Like, there's something going on. But I think, and I was saying to you in the car, like, that might have a lot to do with the fact that his job has been made somewhat easier in the past by the fact that he's had a more dynamic version of Jordan Henderson and a mad, you know, ruthless Genie Wijnaldum cutting passing lanes like nobody's business. And now he's got these very good, albeit tiny, children next to him. And he's in acres and acres of, you know, space, not having anything. But it doesn't really account for how much slower he is or how much, how scruffy he's being. And a lot of it might have to do with, as you said, like, mentality. But I think if I was, you know, if we were a couple of, like, bad refereeing decisions or, like, a shot off target away from being, you know, the greatest team of all time, and then suddenly your manager's saying, don't worry about the league, we're just going to kind of have a go in Europe, I think that would deplete my spirit even more. And what really worries me about this season is how, there's a line in The Thick of It where he goes, oh, no, don't make policy on the hoof. Like, you know, there's nothing worse than making policy on the hoof because it's never going to work out all right. There's such a worrying sign, and it reminds me of Brendan Rodgers circa 14-15, albeit with better players, better manager, better vibe. It's not that bad. We're all doing okay. Don't worry. The changing everything around, like going to 4-2-3-1, whatever, you know, oh, we've had dynamic and wide wingers. Salah's on the right, now he's through the centre. What are you up to?
Yeah.
Like, why are we changing things so flippantly? Like, it's scary that there hasn't been more pragmatism built into the way that the season's worked out.
It reminds me of me trying to play new football manager
and there's so many slider bars and something's not working and I'll tinker, but I'm not a scientific person. So when something doesn't work, I don't know how to put it back because I don't really know what I've done. And there is a bit of like, you try this, oh, this is, well, that kind of, well, we won, so it must have worked.
Yeah,
without
knowing quite
what it is that you've done that constructed that. Whereas everything that's gone before, I've said this, and that's Man City kind of made me feel loads better about it. And in general, because if you can beat Manchester City, then you've clearly still got something, haven't you? You've still got something going for you. But I totally agree with that point of like, when you make sweeping changes to how you play without training it, then you're not going to win every game, because invariably you're going to hit a wall where those fine margins that when you can play a blind ball over your shoulder and you know your guy's running in there, that's gone, because that doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. That, you know, I talked about this on the podcast of the week. There's a book called Shockology, and it's about like conscious and unconscious competence, and like when you're so totally trained in something and you do it without thinking, and your boss at it, it's got being in the zone. You know this, but when you're doing something that's unfamiliar, you might still be brilliant at it, but you've still got to pause to make sure that you're doing the right things, and that's what we're kind of like at the moment. It doesn't excuse for being, you know, he's been shite. Yeah. I don't know what, I'd love to know what his issue is, like genuinely.
Love him so much. He's been such an incredible player. And like there was a compilation circulating of him home to United when he puts the ball over the top to Mane, and Mane, was it 2-1 or 2-0 or something? 2-0 or 3-1, whatever. And it was like watching it, and it's just, oh yeah, all of that stuff. Those limbs. Yeah. Those fucking limbs going everywhere. You dispossessing people left, right and centre. The speed at which you get back the ball and recycle it, that move it forward, win it, you know, just it never goes into our half. You're there patrolling and it kind of comes back and you slowly build them.
There's a moment in that game where he is like...
Against
Forest. And we're penning them in, or we're trying to pen them in. And we've got an attack and it breaks down. And Fabinho is 25 yards from goal. Maybe 30, and that's when normally, bang, he wins the ball back and we go again, and all of a sudden they've just survived this, but they're living on the edge, and that's how we build pressure, and the ball, he's just half a yard off the ball and goes past, and all of a sudden we're on a counter attack. And I agree. I think this is the problem with all of this. I don't think there's any simple solution to anything, because players are so good, we're having to find deeper reasons for things, because I, you know, there's lots of other things. There must be lots of mitigating circumstances for Fabinho, but I don't know what it is. He just looks like he's just given birth. His wife's just given birth to quadruplets, and they haven't got any support. You know what I mean?
He's just slower, lethargic. He looks weighty. He looks heavy, but he also looks the thinnest he's ever looked.
Yeah, yeah. He just looks off it. He just looks. And
players do go off a cliff edge, though. I think it's like, you know, I criticised him for the first couple of years at Liverpool and then was completely won over by him. I think it's happening with Jordan Henderson as well. Like, they're just getting a bit older and they've played for Jurgen Klopp. It's not like playing for just any manager. He's put a lot of...
But
Jordan Henderson's like 32 years old and he's had a lot of injuries. Fabinho's like 29 years old. When was the last time you saw like a DM drop off a cliff at 29 years old? It's not permanent. Yeah. I refuse to believe it.
And I agree with that. And his performances reminded me of Van Dijk's, where it's like, not believing your own hype, but like you know, when you're a world-class footballer, you clearly have to trust your instincts. You clearly have to trust the muscle memory that you've built up. But when that stops working, I don't know what the process is to get that back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Van Dijk, someone's clearly gone to him. Just go and beat some people up, mate. Just go and fight. Go and get really aggressive and just go and flex your muscles a bit and show everyone that you're on it. And when Fabinho's done that this season, he's looked like Fabinho.
Yeah.
But it's like when you just can't quite be arsed.
Yeah. And during the Napoli game, everybody was just like, it was absolutely incredible to watching all the goals that we conceded back. Everybody's just jogging about. like, you know, like a panting kind of middle-aged jogger out for their morning. Like, what are you doing? Like, everybody, every time, like, you know, they broke through the last line of the defence, we'd all just be sort of sauntering back. Oh, no. Oh, I hate conceding goals. Oh, no. Oh, that's so annoying. Ugh, what a drag. Another goal. Ugh. Oh, well. Anyway, let's start again to play football, I guess. But I've got to be back to feed the dogs. So, yeah, come on. Like, what? Well, where's the urgency? There's nowhere. It's so irritating.
There's like a... I felt this up until the last week of like it feeling like it's scripted. And the players feel like, it's like, oh, we've conceded here. It's like, no, you never used to believe it was, you know, you used to,
yeah,
that extra gear, that extra 5%, the 1%, the clawing, the scratching, like someone who's fighting for their lives. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so if you play...
Al Pacino's speech in any given Sunday.
But I'm thinking more like when you used to play, play Manhunt.
Very similar, actually.
Yeah. When you used to play Manhunt in school, and someone would be chasing you, and you'd run. After a while, you go, fuck this. Yeah. Right, you've got me.
Yeah.
But if someone was literally chasing you with a knife wanting to stab you to death, you would find I hope sincerely
yeah.
depths
you'd find an extra K in you, wouldn't
exactly and that's the difference between Liverpool this season and Fabinho, but and I think Trent's been a bit like this season, Van Dijk's been like it until recent weeks of like, I don't know where it is, just sometimes you reach for it and the gear's not there, whether it's not there physically or psychologically. We all have that day where you just think, I could do this, but not, it's not today. I won't do this today, but there's no reason I can't get up and take my car to the garage.
Yeah.
But not today. It feels like they've got a lot of not today going on in the
I wonder if there's a scepticism with the system or the new things that people are being asked to do, or like, you know, people are going, you're putting, so Salah's on, like, you know, chalk on his boots, is he? That guy. The guy, who's now on £98 million a minute, he's out wide. And what are you doing? Like, if you don't, and the thing that Klopp's always had is a huge amount of buy-in from the players. And if that starts to wane slightly and goes, I want you to work your bollocks off and the plan, it, you know, to you might feel a bit silly right now. And no, I'm not running for a silly plan. Like, yeah. I'm not...
Well, the problem is that you need... I think we kind of all sort of mentioned it, but like obviously the aging of the players is a thing. And definitely that thing as well, when you reach the pinnacle. Because I think it's about where would Klopp... Well, Klopp's probably not going to leave Liverpool as a manager, and Pep's got an interesting decision to make, because where are you going to go? Because you reach a point in your life when you don't want to start again. You know, you don't want to have to go through all the builds that got to where you are. And there must be a few of those players who are going, Jesus Christ, that was hard. I've got to go and do this again. I've got to go and push, and particularly when the league's basically gone already. Yeah. You must be like, ooh.
That's what I meant before. Yeah. Like, I don't think Klopp has had a conversation where he's like, don't worry about the league. That me being flippant, do you know what I mean? But he might have gone, look, right, it's very difficult for us to win the league from here. They've just signed a fucking robot who just scores goals. Whenever he wants, he's just like, oh, I'll score now if you don't mind.
Yeah.
We're not going to catch them. So we've got to get in the top four, because second and fourth are the same to us.
Yeah.
So that's the plan with the league. Let's go and try and win the Champions League. I think a conversation along those lines, or a communication in that direction, is plausible, because he's done it before.
Yeah.
Do you remember when he left Dortmund and he said, you either need to sign a new squad of players or a new manager? And that was the reason why he left, because he went, I can't ask these people to get up and do this again. I've worked these too hard for the last God knows how long. And I wonder if there's an element of that going on. I can't, like, that. How are you going to get these people up for that? And it does look like, with the old guard, as it were, it's very hard to galvanise them to go again and do that all again. And we look stronger in the areas where we've had the most refreshment.
Well, yeah, yes. And also there's the certain mentality of certain lads, and maybe it's actually, because I don't think Jordan Henderson, I don't think he's had a great season, but in recent weeks I think he's looked better. Yeah. And he's never lacked for, he's not like he's not running around, it's not like he's not pouring his heart into it. Thiago's another one who just looks so annoyed, you know, he's happy to go and put himself on the line for it. And like James Milner is go for, but I wonder whether there's that, it's maybe it's the middle tier lads you could do with actually just pushing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you need someone else to come in with a bit more zip and enthusiasm to go, I'm going to have your place off here, lads, if you don't, you know. And Trent's basically one of them. Fabinho's another example where we haven't bought anyone in that department.
Well, we bought Calvin, didn't we? But he's been injured since we got him.
Exactly.
Like, Robertson's been great since he come back from injury, because he knows if he's shit, Simicast just gets the job. Yeah. There's someone waiting to take it.
Yeah, exactly. And and then we've got these younger lads who, like, Harvey Elliott looks like a breath of fresh air. You know,
he's been
and
our
then,
best player by Carl, miles. Carvalho, alongside Alisson, like.
Yeah, Carvalho's still settling in, but I'm quite excited by what he brings to the team. Diaz was just full of running. Jota's still always got a bit of a point to prove. Nunes is mad as a box of frogs, isn't he? Like, yeah. But again, there's something really likeable about that.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
And they're the ones who've got that, and they drag everyone else along, but half of them are injured. Or I've mentioned tiny children, who, when it comes to the crunch, haven't got that. You need the experience in some football matches.
I do think it's possible post World Cup. If we come back from the World Cup and we've got a full squad, it's entirely possible Liverpool win 12 games on the bounce.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you can never rule that out. It's the same thing. Whenever we've been bullish about the fact that we've been ahead of City, or like it's going well for us in the league, like City always have that thing where they go, oh yeah, but we'll just win 10 in a row. Yeah. And then it's like, it's the old Shane Warne thing about, add 100 runs or take away 3 wickets and the score looks, and then where's the game at? Because that can happen like that.
Yeah.
And then the balance of the game is completely, and the league works in a similar way. If you win 10 games in a row, suddenly we're the best team in the world again.
Yeah, no, they definitely need to get to something. We'll talk a little bit about that in a bit, but I want to talk about Curtis Jones. It's mad to me how there's people out there who just don't see it. Like, really don't see it. And I know the internet's full of just polarised opinions for the sake of it, you know what I mean? Like, everyone likes to double down and die on hills and stuff. I had a conversation with my cousin, who's normally quite light-hearted around stuff, and he was saying, and he went, that one player in particular, and I went, is it Curtis Jones? And he went, yeah. And I went, oh. And I physically sank into my chair because I was like, oh, not you two. Like, I can't have lost another reasonably, moderate person to this. Because, he was like, he's so limited. He's not kicked on. He's not done this. He's so average, you know. And then he went, he's 24 years old. I was like, he's not 24 years old. He's 21. Like, you know, he's still a young footballer.
Yeah.
And he went, okay, well, I'll revise my thing a bit. Because it doesn't help, his dad has been that, my uncle's been that guy, and everyone's got that member of the family who basically says everyone's shit.
Yeah.
Apart from the obvious.
Salah, shite. Well, also shite, mate.
With the exception of the ones that you nailed on, that, you know, are untouchable. Yeah. Everyone else is basically shite unless they do something magic at a European Cup final. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? And Curtis is clearly the latest target. He loves Harvey Elliott, but doesn't like Curtis Jones. I can't sit here and say Curtis Jones is the greatest footballer ever to lace his boots for Liverpool Football Club, but he's just played his first sub appearance and then played his first 90 minutes of the season, and I thought he was fine. The idea that,
I think he had a difficult game against Forest. I thought, particularly in the first half, every time he got the ball, he looked like he was going to lose it.
But he never does.
He did a few times.
But generally speaking,
just taking a bit long on the ball. Look, I like him, and I want to like him, because he's a Scouser, and you want Scousers in the team. Like, I want him to succeed at Liverpool Football Club, but I do think he's got a big 18 months ahead of him. I think he's got to get fit, stay fit, and get in the team, and stay in the team. Because if he's still sort of viewed the way he is now in 18 months' time, I think he'll move to Aston Villa or Brighton, or he'll go to a mid-table Premier League. He's always going to do all right.
Yeah.
But it's a pivotal 18 months for him to forge a career at Liverpool, I think.
Yeah,
he's technically incredible, and what he and there was a time, I don't know, was it COVID season? I can't really remember, but there was a time where all of the fan rhetoric around Curtis Jones was, oh, we're winning, we took Curtis Jones off, we've lost. We're winning, we've took Curtis Jones off, we've lost. There was a whole alchemy around the magic of Curtis Jones and what he meant. There was also loads of stuff about how technically gifted he was, but like, what was he going to bring to a midfield that demanded more
grit and a bit
to be more sturdy. Yeah. And then there was all this stuff coming out, like the pie wheel, chart things that Statoles have about how much he profiles like Wijnaldum, like how much like off the ball intelligent stuff that he's been taught how to do. And how much has been said about how difficult it is to be in a Jurgen Klopp midfield. And to be this, you know, he was a winger, he was an attacking midfielder, and then to have to learn the discipline as a still very young guy, and to adopt that. And to, I mean, I think he's brilliant. And one of the things that I was thinking about when we've been doing poorly, or when we've been, you know, not performing as we wanted because the midfield looks so weak and so many people were out at the beginning of the season, was looking forward to him coming back and the difference that it would make to have him as an option.
Yeah.
And I still believe that. He still looks physically light.
Yeah.
That's my only, like,
could
concern
about
him.
Putting a bit of weight on.
Yeah, well, he's 21. You know, we all get there. It's mad, but you're at 24. It just happens as a fella. Like, you just thicken.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's self-inflicted. But you do naturally just, you deepen out, you know what I mean? Front to back, you fill out a little
it
bit
It does
more.
Happen at different ages for different people. You see, like Bale came back from one pre-season and suddenly looked like, you know, like he was
Goretzka
about to be in the kind of Marvel comic universe.
Have you seen Goretzka?
Or everybody at Bayern.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're all absolutely, they've all been lifting heavy stuff.
Yeah. No, it's true. And we've got a good super chat here from Kevin Whitaker. He says, not right, Curtis, a 21-year-old kid returned from injury with sporadic game time, who wasn't involved until the 11th hour, is copping this amount of flack. A modicum of patience would be appreciated.
I totally agree with that. As much as I wasn't going to bring it up and criticise him, I haven't done that online or whatever, I don't think he had a particularly good game, but I think it's entirely understandable that he didn't have a particularly good game.
He was one of 10 who didn't have a particularly good game. Like, it was Alisson who had a good game.
Yeah, he's just come back. He wasn't meant to play. Fair enough.
And he's just come in and played in basically two different positions as well.
Yeah.
In a new formation that he probably won't have even hardly trained because he's not even been fit through this period when Liverpool have changed it. It's funny that the scouting goes both ways, doesn't it? Because I think sometimes there's people from outside Liverpool who go, well, we give too much time to scousers. And I'm like, yeah, it is right.
Yeah.
And by the way, we absolutely should do, because ultimately I would like, and we should all hope for a world of 11 scousers playing for Liverpool. Yeah. It's never going to happen. But,
and Harvey Elliott.
My
spiritual
thing. Yeah, absolutely. Adopted
South Scouser. West London, lifelong Liverpool fan in the Liverpool team. Yes.
Is that representation?
Now I know what you all feel when, oh yeah, Trent. Oh yeah, Trent. I've got Harvey Elliott. Yeah. Harvey Elliott is my boy.
Yeah. So okay, we'll allow it. But to the point, you want 11 Liverpool fans in the team effectively.
Yeah.
So Curtis Jones deserves it. He's got all the tools, but to everyone's point, he just needs to play. And if he doesn't, I don't see the point of getting annoyed about it. You know what I mean? It's like, he's clearly it's the people who don't see the talent or maybe blind themselves to it, because you can do this, because God knows we've had it. Remember, it was Lucas Leiva, when it was Jordan Henderson, go back, it was Ronnie Whelan in the 80s. There's always one footballer who just, like, it's like somehow people are totally blinkered to. It's like you can't, for some reason, you can't see it. Or remember going for trials for the footy team once, and there was two pitches, right, and the one manager, and he was looking between two pitches, and what had happened is he'd be looking over this way, and I'd make a save, and everyone would go, oh, and he'd turn around like, what, and I was fucking shit at taking goal kicks. So like a ball would bring away, he'd end up out for a goal kick, and I'd take the world's worst goal kick, and he'd go, oh, and turn back and watch the other and then I'd be pulled under the world, and I'd go, oh, right down. It feels like people are looking down at the phones when Curtis is doing all these great bits of close control and really being neat and tidy or going past people and stuff. I don't know. Let's talk, Adam, about their fans. Now, there were a few people, and I don't want to tar an entire fan base with one brush, because it's stupid to do it, because there's idiots in all fan bases. And there were some really good vocal people ahead of the game, and the people who put the Hillsborough banner up and that kind of thing. Great show of respect for Liverpool. But just generally speaking, first and foremost, on a pure top line basis, that's a great institutional football club that has basically been absolutely polluted and perverted by the Championship. The Championship has seeped into every pore of that football club, and it stinks.
Stinks
of Championship.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean when
I say
exactly
that. I know exactly what you mean. Do you know what? Right, before the game kicked off, I was stood in the ground watching their fans going, because there was no Hillsborough chanting or poverty chanting before the game. It was once the game started.
A couple of minutes before, a minute or two before the game, but yeah.
But I was watching them going, these are great. Like, these are great, and it's going to be fucking bouncing in, and this is going to be a nightmare of an hour and a half. Because you forget how much of a cup final it is for teams like that to play Liverpool. Like, yeah. That's something that goes out the window. It used to happen when teams played Man United when they were in their fucking pomp. Like, the bottom of the league team would turn up more against them than they would against Wolves because they want to beat the best team.
Yeah.
And it means more to the fans as well. And they were bouncing. And then it started, and they were all just dead horrible. And there was a fella on the other side of, because I was literally against the barrier. So it was me, the barrier, and then the home fans.
Oh.
And when I first got there, they were being dead sound because a couple of them like recognised me and were like, oh, you're the comedian, I've seen your TikToks. They're taking like selfies across the thing, and I'm just laughing, do you know what I mean? You're at a fucking away game and there's people doing that. And then the same people start singing what they're singing. There was one fella going, I was there at Hillsborough, I was there, and it was yous. It was like, mate, there's been a million investigations and there's footage of what went on.
Mate, let's be honest, if he's in the other end, in the ground, at the end of the pitch, I'm sorry, I sit in the cop and I can't tell you who's assisted a goal down the far end, let alone the police structure that goes on behind the fucking stand. Like,
he was a horrible bastard, this fella. Like, he was fucking disgusting. And he was literally just on the other side. He had this Great Britain flag that was in Nottingham red, like, so there was no blue in it or white, it was all just like Nottingham red.
They
were just for any fan base to be singing that stuff is obviously horrible, and for it to be Forrest, who were literally a coin toss away from it being them, is just insane.
And it was just that thing of, again, this is what's about the dripping in championship stuff, Alfie. It's clearly a different sport when you go down the leagues, and the way fan bases talk and the way they act, and there's just more, I just think there's more aggression around the footy the lower down you go.
I also think that the bitterness exists more for, like, they've got two European Cups or however many, they've got a profile and an idea of themselves that makes them think that they should exist beyond what they've existed as for God knows how long, which makes them so, like, you know, virulently unpleasant. A similar thing happened to Leeds in a way, I think, in that they became like so angry because then they weren't where they thought they should be. So it's not like necessarily a thing that happens in the championship, but when big clubs go down and they start to become bit, I mean, you also see this happen with people. Like, you know, the people who aren't where they think they should be become like angry and sad and start saying, you know,
Everton.
Like,
on a smaller scale, Everton fans are angry and bitter because they want to be challenging for titles and trophies.
Your personality as a human being, like the sort of club that you support, must affect who you are as a you know, how much kind of hope you have or your outlook or your relationship with other people, because it's such a big part of your like life. And I know that it's only football, and you know, Arrigo Sacchi or Jurgen Klopp, it's the most important, least important thing.
Yeah.
But there's a huge sense of community and identity and investment in what, and that's why I find it so sad that people singing that sort of thing, all the poverty chanting. It's so incredibly stupid. Like, it blows my mind that we're all sort of behind, at least in, you know, terms of what it is to be part of a working class sport or be part of a community, give to food banks, whatever. And then the lazy one-upmanship, it's just shit joke writing, which is what I find most offensive. it's so shit.
Me and Chloe went, and we walked into the ground, and it was just nice. I just enjoyed being around a town where you didn't feel on edge going to the game, particularly. It was a nice, friendly sort of environment. Cool, really interesting stadium to go to. It was fascinating, but was just things like I said. It was just people shouting like "Scout Rat" at you when you walk out and stuff. And it's a lot of younger fans and stuff who again have been raised. Never knew Nottingham Forest when they were a Premier League team in the first instance. Yeah. I always had a lot of respect for Forest as a club and all that, but there is just that thing of they've probably just come out battle hardened from having to, you know, to go to all those grounds and to deal with all this and listen to so much goal music. You know what I mean? Over the last 20 years, you know what I mean? It's just tipped them over the edge.
I always think that's how you can tell a shit sport. If you play music over the exciting bit, that's a shit sport. Yeah. Immediately. They don't do it in Test cricket. They do it in 2020 cricket. Shit sport. It's just, if you like, that's like, who wants to go to QPR? Ba, 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 ba. Like, no, it wasn't a good thing that happened. It was boring and it was crap. And no, it was bad enough
when we were in lockdown and Liverpool were playing Song 2 to empty stadiums whenever they fucking scored the goals.
I hated that.
Right, Sad. We're going to talk about how we're coping when all dealing with Liverpool's crapness after this very short break. We're sponsored by Who Knows Wins, and me and Chris are picking our picks this week. Okay, everyone, Who Knows Wins time. I've got answers to the question, by the way.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You.
Apparently so.
I can't believe it.
Fluked it in the hugest possible way. Can you get the league table up, actually?
I can very much get the league table up from last week. We came second and won £249.80.
And then I come join first?
Well, no, because Di Waddell won first twice.
Oh, wow.
So he won double £249.80, so you came joint second in my head. I mean, it's fine. Like,
I can accept that. I can absolutely accept that. Yeah, I come top of the pile, got a major split of the pot there.
That's incredible, like, mate.
Absolutely astonishing. Astonishing. And so the insight into this is I thought
a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, I thought Liverpool were going to win 1-0. So I thought we were going to pepper their goal with shots. We were going to have loads of corners, and I thought it'd be a low scoring game. So I kind of went in that general theme to it. And apparently that was enough to get me on top of the amazing thing,
and this is why Who Knows Wins is so good, is that you can be completely wrong, which you were, and yet you were more right than everybody else.
I got the general.
No one was more right than you.
Yeah, I got the general.
Even though you thought you're completely wrong. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's like I'm doing a blind feel on like an animal and being like tortoise, and they're like, ah, no, terrapin. And you're like, okay, well, you know.
Yeah, I got the shape of the game right.
Broadly speaking, I was there. So, yeah, proof, if ever there was needed, that if I can do it, then anyone, literally anyone can.
I had a concern about these giant terrapins, to be honest with you. My word!
But congratulations to everyone else who played along. You actually got in the money this week.
I did. I got £3 something, I think. You have to scroll down quite a way. I came tied. Well, if I gave you second, I'm tied 24th.
Sad. And Steve did absolutely nothing.
As is his way.
Glorious. Par for the course by this point.
So between us, we won £252.
Absolutely flying, Chris. Yeah, put it there. Yes, nailed it. Right, Sal, plenty of leagues to get involved with.
Down the middle?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry. By the way, Steve tied in 293rd place. He got 6 out of... That can't be right. That's hilarious. Anyway, oh yeah, sorry, that was the Saturday Pick 10 league. We didn't do so well in that, so we're not going to talk about that one.
Didn't happen.
But there are three leagues this week. There is an Ajax-specific one, there is a Pick 10 on Saturday, and there is a Leeds-specific one, which we're going to go through live right now.
Right, Liverpool v Leeds. I think it's going to be a Liverpool win. I don't think both teams have scored. I don't think there's over 2.5 goals. I think it's going to be a draw at half time. No, we're not going to take 7.5 corners. No, we're not going to take 1.5 cards. No, they're not going to take 3.5 cards. Yes, they're going to take over 2.5 corners. And Darwin is, in fact, going to score any time.
There you go. Absolutely flown through that one. Well done. Yes, the Saturday Pick 10 has got a 10k pot, which includes our game against a Leeds at Anfield, and yeah, there is an Ajax specific one as mentioned already, and the Leeds specific one as well. So plenty of ways to play along. Make sure you're 18 plus if you want to get involved in this. Do be gamble aware. The link will be in the description. But if you go to redmen.whoknowswins.com or use the QR code on the screen, you'll be able to go directly through, and it makes us look really good if you sign up through that as well. So yeah, come and play with us. And as I say, if you ever want evidence or proof that anyone can do this, it's a bit of a laugh, it's a bit of fun, and you can come out with dough. Me, who, let's be honest,
got the result completely wrong.
Yeah.
But not as wrong as everybody else. Losers.
Ah, your faces. Right, Sal, yeah, good luck with Who Knows Wins this week, and another update will follow next week in a bit. Yeah, I absolutely cleaned up on Who Knows Wins this week, which means that, as I've said there, you can too. Yeah, the link will be in the description underneath and all that good stuff as well.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
All right. Alfie and Adam still with me. Let's talk about it then. Alfie, how are you dealing with Liverpool being crap? You've just explained to me that you've got 4 children, so I imagine you've got your hands full, generally speaking. Not too much time to stop and get upset about Liverpool, but it is...
How he manages.
Always, it's like filling a jar with rocks and then filling it with sand, isn't it? Liverpool misery is the sand that you can fill up every possible last... Like,
and there's still space for a beer with a friend.
I mean, it's... You know, this team, Jurgen Klopp, you know, everything that... is involved in the current Liverpool team that we're watching, you know, struggle, is the same reason that me and you have been out at 5 a.m. in Pop World singing Jurgen Klopp's name. Like, it's the reason that I grabbed your ears so hard I almost took them off your head. They're the reason for so much like good stuff, and it's hard to. All the carping and, you know, moaning and mewling about, you know, Curtis Jones or insert player that you're angry with as an avatar for your own shortcomings as a human being. It's no way to like football. It's just bollocks. Like, you just support the team. If you're like, you know, whimpering the whole time about it's not like you're a supporter, so just support. Otherwise, you're just an invested skeptic. That's no way to be. Like, what are you? It's not what you want to see, and it's not nice. But I mean, also, I still feel my feelings about the season are sort of separated into kind of high optimism and high pessimism.
Yeah.
And my high optimism is mainly centered around Darwin Nunes, who is the... I can't wait. Like, I got sad. Like, it's like an amazing support band cancelled when he didn't end up in the starting lineup in on Saturday. I love watching him play football. He's absolutely bonkers.
And he's going to score twice against Ajax tomorrow as well. It's going to be nice. It's going to be good to watch that.
It's going to be great to watch that.
Yeah.
And he's going to be... And there's an interesting thing about how Liverpool sign players. This is a bit of a tangent, but I think it is interesting. In that you look at, like, Mane was in a village and had to walk 98,000 miles to go and get scouted in a city somewhere. Salah learned how to play football with flip-flops on. Firmino was never part of a Brazilian sort of scouting network. He was sort of found and then came up through other... didn't develop till a lot later. Every single player that has made it, not every single one, but a lot of the players that have made it big for us have come up in non-traditional ways and have developed at a later age. You look at everybody, so like, oh yeah, they're 18, or Curtis Jones, 21, oh, he's not made it yet. Like, Haaland has developed through incredible academies.
Yeah.
And that's why he was in the public eye. Also, he's like, you know, amazing and the best football player of all time, blah, 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 fuck you. But, but there's also this thing where, so you look at Nunes, he's, I think, was it Sam Maguire or somebody else was making comparisons between him and Suarez's first season. And you look at a lot of the players that have done well for us, and they're players who have developed later. They haven't been like superstars at 18 years old, and that's what we tend to look for. You never would have thought Salah was going to win or like be a contender for Ballon d'Or when he was at at Chelsea, yeah, or Andy Robertson at Hull, that would be the best left back in the world. You never would have realised it. So I've got a lot of optimism for the way things can work out. We just need a little bit of time.
I think that's part of it for me, and it's easier to preach this than necessarily live it. But it is finding the smaller moments. It's finding the things to hang your hat on and go, well, at least there was this. You know what I mean? You can say, and in football matches, often the chances that you missed, you know, if you've had a game where you've missed no chances and you've gotten beat, you're up shit creek. But if you've had moments where you've had some good moments or some good things to celebrate, they're the things that tend to sustain you. I agree. Darwin Nunes has been, I still. Like this season, I still go both ways. He'll have a bad game and I'll be like, oh my God, it's definitely the next Andy Carroll. And then he'll have another one. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to be as good as Erling Haaland and beyond. I will flip
a little
bit on that.
I'm firmly in that side.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm convinced. I can't wait for the meltdown from Everton and United fans when he has like this 45 goal season he's going to have next year. Like, because he's going to score 20 odd this year. Mm-hmm. He will. He just will. And next year, it's going to be ridiculous. When we're back... When we're a bit back and things are better again next year, and he's fully integrated into the team.
You've just broken the record. It is the 25th of October, and you've just used the old infamous Liverpool adage of next year.
Yeah.
That is the earliest.
Did you mean next calendar year or next season?
No, next season. Because I've already written this season off in my head. I'm like, do you know what? Anything is a bonus now. We've just got to have this year where we allow Jurgen Klopp to teach these players his new game. Like, it's new. Like, it's just what it's going to be like. Anything that isn't that is then a happy bonus for me.
I said to you, if we were 6 points away from top four come World Cup,
then
it was all going to be fine.
Yeah.
We just need to stay within that sort of distance. And also, because it's been difficult for us this season, it's sort of gone under the radar how many other teams are shite.
Yeah.
Tottenham are shit.
Yeah.
Like, we're all shit. It's only City and Arsenal that aren't shit.
Problem is,
and Arsenal will be shit again soon.
We've been playing at such a high level. And look, at the moment, Liverpool are very, very mid-table. And they need to be better than that. Just put in plain terms as possible. But the level between where we were and fourth was chasmic. The drop-off feels absolutely ridiculous, but it's not. It's just that you don't actually have to be that good to be a top, to finish third or fourth.
Yeah.
I always reference it, you know, look at us in the COVID season, we finished third, and everyone forgets that we finished third that season.
And we lost every game.
We lost six consecutive home games in that season, and we finished third, and it was weird for everyone, but we don't need to get back to winning every game of football, because even if we did, we're not going to win the league this season. But we don't need to get back to that level. We just need to get back to a level where we win three or four and then maybe have a draw. Yeah. Another draw, and then win three or four, and maybe have a loss, and then win a couple. You know, find some rough form. I totally agree
are the thing that will make or break. I mean, you know, quite literally in the case of some, you know, bones or tendons. And that's what really worries me. And when I speak about my optimism and my pessimism is in the ability of our players to. You know, not be injured.
It'd be good if we could like hire a doctor.
Yeah.
Does that make a difference? So it seems like we don't have a doctor and we're getting injured the whole time. So like, there's that correlation. But
there's a good cyber on this made this point about like it's not the doctor doesn't choose training workloads.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously other medical people in
I
and
just
around
think
it.
It's a good thing to have.
But this
it's
is
definitely a good thing to have.
Especially when you've got an injury list as long as your arm. Yeah. Like I just personally.
Yeah.
Find a doctor.
It's a bit like, you know, having toilet roll and not having toilet roll. Having toilet roll doesn't stop you having diarrhea, but it's easier to clean up when you've got bog roll. You know, it's one of them. It's
wild.
Thiago was out with the ear infection. I go, what? So if we had a club doctor, there'd be somebody to reach for the Nurofen. Get off the fucking pitch. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Like, it's an ear infection. Get him on the field.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed a tweet. I can't remember who it was from, so I can't give credit. So I apologise if they are watching or watch this. But someone tweeted, Thiago misses today's game with an ear infection. section. Thank God Virgil got over his bad dream.
Yeah, absolutely. But I was going to touch upon this, but we're running a little short on time. But like, about wildest Liverpool theories around Liverpool's problems. But there's always one or two that become the popular narrative for any given week. So right now, the club doctor thing has become like you learn this stuff by osmosis. Liverpool haven't had a club doctor since the summer. It was a big thing that kind of went. It ended up being like it went away quite quietly in the end. Yeah. He got his statement on the website that wished him all the best, and he got off. So there was that's been rumbling on for a while, but there's all kinds of stuff. So it is like everyone's got their pet theory.
Yeah, Naby's not really injured.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Zaha was shagging Moyes' daughter.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everyone's got them. I just find them fascinating because it's like the internet is a giant pub. Yeah. And everyone gets to hold court at any given space of time, particularly when one then crosses over from really niche under to a few more people are talking about online. It's like, oh well, I've been saying this one all along. It's that club doctor. That's what the problem has been along.
I love anything like this.
I love
not
it.
Just in football terms. One of my favourite ones of this sort of thing ever, right? I went to the same school as my little brother, obviously, and he come home from school one day and he goes, found out today, do you know when Jay-Z and Rihanna filmed the music video for Umbrella? He shagged her, but Beyonce doesn't know. And I was like, so it's got to a schoolyard in West Derby, but it hasn't quite managed to make it to his wife.
Yeah.
But he said it like, don't tell Beyonce.
Just keep it on the DL. But
I know that, you know, exactly what I was saying earlier about, you know, you support the club, be a supporter, don't, you know, be too, you know, bleak, glum, gloomy, you know, miserly with your spirit. But at the same time, all this stuff is very fun. Like, all the conspiracy theories and the whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, we're here because it's fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, all that stuff, you know, it's
you've got it, but it's about how seriously you take it all and how personally you take it all. And look, we're in a world where people get dead offended when you say, like, Xbox is shit.
You know what I mean?
Like, when people get really upset about that, or if you say Batman's better than Superman, there's people out there who will froth at the mouth and fight you till they're dying.
The pineapple on pizza, morons.
Oh, like, honestly,
if you give a shit about that, then it's just...
most reductive argument in the history of you like fucking it, like it. Species.
The only wrong opinion is to care.
Yes.
It's like liking or not liking Ant and Dec. It's just don't do anything. Neither. Like, it's they're there. Yeah. Get over it. Yeah. Neither. Don't love them or hate them. They're just Ant and Dec, okay?
Be Ant and Dec agnostic, whatever.
Did you bring that up because you have a favourite Liverpool conspiracy theory?
No, I did it because I feel like often I'm at the nexus of all this. So I hear them all. I started to do a bit of a thing where I've been trying to disprove a few along the way, and some are obviously always undisprovable, because that's the true great conspiracy theories are the ones that you can't possibly put to bed. But I've faced them all, and even like it's 7 years a Jürgen Klopp, like, and it's just because seven is the same number of years that he had at Dortmund, and seven is the same number, and that's all the analysis that's gone into that. Seven years. Seven. It's like that fucking American woman with the monster. How the logo of monster is to do with fucking the side devil. Of the devil.
I love that video. Do you know, every now and then when I'm hungover, I watch that video. Like, I find it.
Yeah.
I do watch weird things when I'm hungover.
Yeah.
The other day on a hangover, I watched Kelly Clarkson's first American Idol audition, and I searched for it.
Yeah. I wondered where you got that screenshot from. I thought
that was my phone.
I thought, is that a meme that, like, I don't get?
No,
you've just screenshotted.
Yeah, I also watch the Al Pacino speech from Any Given Sunday, which is why I knew it.
I got out of bed.
Yeah, because I watched that yesterday.
It's like they were saying, are you getting joy from footy or whatever? And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter this week saying, as you get older, you kind of doesn't bother you as much. And I think there's probably any. I thought you did a great bit on your stand-up, your stand-up special. We talk about how hard it is to be Generation Z and how just shit it is for them. And I think there's a little bit of this now where there's people who have seen us be really good for 7 years, and that's for us, 7 years is fuck all, you know what I mean, really. But if you're 18, that 7 years is like the biggest chunk of your entire life.
Yeah, you've gone from a child to a adult.
So being able to, and then how do you cope now with Liverpool not being very good? Well, you've got no coping mechanism because you don't remember us being crap.
Yeah,
I lived it. we've just done half a million.
You have to talk about it.
Jesus, Adam,
like, 5 days a week.
We had fucking Roy Hodgson in charge when we started doing it. In fact, we set our Twitter account up. I think our very first tweet was like, can't believe they've sacked my manager. Like, Rafa Benitez had gone. That was like, that was it. You know, that was a Redmen was born in the fire of Roy Hodgson.
There's a very big thing about like who was manager when you became pubic.
Yeah.
And that is like how you identify. That will always be your Liverpool spirit. It's like being born in the year of the hair or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah. I was born in the year of the Benitez.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I enjoy winning silverware and being really critical of people to the faces. That's the trademark. But that I think there is a thing where you get, and obviously when you get a bit more things in your life as well, and it doesn't, people get lost in that, don't it? Because we've been preaching, it's not a matter of life or death, it's more important to that. It's a great line, and we all love Bill Shankly, and all that's great, but it's fucking horseshit. Like,
it is. It's like good, it's good, like, you know, pageantry. It's like, it's good, fun stuff.
Yeah.
And I love all that, but it's not, you know, my only one was I thought Nabi was going to come back with a new hairline. Yeah. I thought, oh, he's out all this time, he's going to come back. Oh, his hair's there now.
But it's the thing for me, the conceit on it all, and people need to remember this sometimes. I remember wrote a sketch and never got to film it, but it's a group of fans singing, "We're by far the greatest team the world has ever seen." And they walk down an alley and they meet three other sets of fans from three other football teams singing the same song. I was like, no, we're going to see the world's ever seen. Like, and that, but that's what Twitter is. Like, all you never used to meet these people and you never used to know them. So you never came into like contact with this, like all the thing that like tears down your belief system around your football club. Like, you're the good guys and everyone else is the bad guys. Everyone else is the protagonist of their own story. All their football clubs are the best and you're the worst. And now they've met and it makes you feel so much worse about your football team, because it's like someone's weird. Oh, they sing all the same songs as us.
Yeah.
And they've got, oh, there's one of our own. It must be so depressing to be a London club.
Yeah.
Like, when you go and you're like, you know, he's one of our own. No, he's one of our own. Yeah, but our own is better than your own. Like, I mean, oh my God. Must be so fucking tiresome. But yeah, that, I think you find this as you go along, that like, you kind of got to shrug it off a bit, because it makes us miserable. It does.
Yeah.
I'm not happy. I said this before many a time, I need to know whether my midlife crisis is kicking in or it's just because Liverpool is shit. I really need that hard delineation. I'm happy with either. Yeah. I can deal with either.
I felt very annoyed at myself on Saturday for how much I think it it affected my mood. Because there's always like, you set a point of pride, like I won't let it ruin a day or a week, and I just, you know, go, that was annoying, but now, and here's my life.
It ruined my day because I had to sit in Nottingham all day in a Cafe like, Nero.
You know, football game or no football game.
I
just hate being in Nottingham. Yeah. So
it's not like
big university town. Is that not a good thing?
Big murder town.
Yeah, it's gun capital of Europe, I think.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah.
Okay. It was for a while. Yeah, Shottingham.
All right, Not
Stockport off of its perch.
Have we ever had a town meeting about that?
The gigs in Nottingham are always fun, and I had, you know, on the last tour I did, I had to do Nottingham twice and do the room twice, and it was like lovely people and great, and I hate it as a city. It's just not fun to
it
be
there. It emanates violence.
It doesn't feel
terrified walking back to the Juries Inn every night after a gig. Awful.
It does. Yeah, it just feels a bit on edge, Nottingham.
Okay. Mm. Speaking of things that are going to be on edge, I'm fascinated. I'm going to Ajax after this, pretty much after we finish doing the podcast today. That away is going to be, it's the most anticipated away in all of Scouse history.
Yeah.
Like, we have, how many times Ajax have been in the draw and we've had fingers and toes crossed for it. We got it and it's fucking COVID. No one can go over. Like, I cannot wait. It's going to be carnage. And then the away end is going to be the worst away end in the history of the world ever. As like 3,000 lids all on a massive para. all with the fucking... They're all with the fucking Monster X hoods pulled up tight to keep off the bad thoughts.
Can't wait.
I'm gutted. I'm not going. I put the so the shows we've been doing last night and tonight and tomorrow, I put them all on sale, and then the fixtures come out, and I was like, why the fuck have I done that? I'd love to be there. And yeah, they're doing the big fan park as well, aren't they? Jamie's singing and stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've never been to a European away, apart from Paris. it's a weird first European away to go to, actually.
Police brutality.
We luckily avoided that when we went over, because we were talking about this on the way here, actually. We left the fan park in Paris, and there was a taxi driver, and it was a 5-minute drive, and he went, €100. And I was like, no. And he went, get in the fucking taxi. And it was the best decision we've made. Because we got in the ground 3 hours before kickoff.
We had French police pointing guns at us, which was great fun.
Right, before we head up, we're going to be doing podcast extra with the guys as well, doing some more of the weird and wild and crazy and less football related stuff as ever. So if you want to come check that out, that'll be on redmenplus.com. But we want to talk, Alfie, you've got your YouTube special out.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Thanks.
Tell everyone about it.
Alfie Brown, live in Liverpool. It's the stand-up special that Harvey Elliott would have made, were he a stand-up comedian and not a footballer. We and what's that place where we had the idea?
We're in the Head of Steam.
The Head of Steam. And I was asking Adam, like, oh, I've got this stuff, because I had, you know, a bunch of material that I wanted to get out that was sort of was newer than my last show, but I didn't want to have it hanging around for the next one. And, you know, in this age of content, which we're all, you know, devilishly aware of.
Welcome to the hamster wheel, by the
way. It's good to get stuff out. And, you know, the good thing about the internet, I mean, you were saying yesterday, it's like, oh, have you got an hour? Doesn't need to be an hour. It can be 40 minutes, it can be half an hour, 20 minutes. Yeah. You can release a 10-minute special, doesn't matter. You know, the internet's there and there are no rules, really. So I was asking Adam about, like, places to put it on, and Adam, in all of his endless kindness, said, oh, I'll do that. I'll put it out, and I'll do that. And let me do it, and I did, and it was it was incredible. They have a word, lids, and indeed Adam, you know, set the whole thing up, and it's on a rooftop. Pins,
it's on the roof of Pins in town. It looks so good, like, because you can see like the slate of the roof in the background. Like, it's so non-traditional to do a stand-up special outdoors on a roof in a busy city centre on a Sunday afternoon. And we put 400 people on the roof, or like 300 odd people on this roof.
Did you correct yourself, because there's limits to how many people can be on that roof? No,
well,
200 people.
211
skinny people.
Fire safety man.
We were on the roof of the day setting up the cameras, and we were just sitting there having a, you know, coffee, whatnot, and talking through where everything was going to go. And in one of the flats up there, this like guy starts banging on the window, and then he holds up his Have a Word jumper and goes, hey, great, starts giving you the thumbs up and whatnot. And then we shouted to him, shout your name and we'll put you on the door.
And he came,
so he just
the show.
Came because he saw it from the window. It was
Was that to stop him shouting the soundboard catchphrases?
But it is an excellent stand-up special, and it was a pleasure to be involved with making it. But Alfie was on the form of his life. The audience were great. The Will, who it was essentially the director of photography for it, and that edited the whole thing. It's just really, really, really fucking good. And
I urge you to watch it. Please watch it and like it, and then comment on it. And even if you don't like it, comment on it, because I don't give a shit. Idiots who comment negatively, you're still helping the algorithm, fools.
YouTube.com/AlfieBrownComedian. Get on the channel. Subscribe to the channel as well, because it's all well and good having big views, but get big subscribers as well.
You've got to have these big subscribers. I'd love big subscribers.
Yes.
I've watched them. It's really good. It's brilliant. And I've seen your clips on Twitter, of course.
Thanks, mate.
Speaking of subscribers, can you all just come and subscribe to the Have a Word YouTube, because it's really fucking trudging away. So I want the little plaque that they give you for 100,000 subscribers. I just really want it. Like, I really want it.
We've got two of them.
Have you? Yeah. Good for you.
I've got one for my channel.
Oh, right. That's
54,000 Have a Word subscribers. You mean you've nearly got as many
paid
yeah.
people.
That's the weird good. Thing, that the conversion rate.
Yeah, I call us, for a long time, I called us pound for pound, the number one podcast on the planet. Because like conversion of like listener to like paid subscriber, yeah. I was like, we must be the number one for that. But then I checked Shane Gillis's, and he, at the time, he had like 60,000 subscribers, but they had like 30,000 patrons.
So $1 patrons, though, doesn't count.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so maybe, yeah, pound for pound, number one podcast.
I think, I know. Obviously, at this point, everyone knows, have a way. There's a wonderful crossover between our audience and yours, yeah. which I really enjoy. Yeah. So, yeah, make sure apparently there's 500,000 is here, so like, go and subscribe to Have a Way and subscribe to Alfie as well. Let's get those numbers up. Let's spread the Red Men
yes.
network far afield. But yeah, loads of content, and obviously, you should, well, know by now, check out Have a Way every week. You guys are an absolute machine. What I really like, and we'll do more of this on Exit, of course, but I was joking that you basically robbed our set, which is always a good one. But I love the fact that you're like down the road, and there's another people doing completely different genre to us,
yeah.
but doing the kind of thing, and there's just lessons. You're doing stuff, and I'm like, oh shit, I'd never considered doing it from that perspective, and the stuff yeah. that we've seen that you're doing that we've adopted and all that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, I just fucking love it. I'm very proud of other people.
Yeah,
it's such an exciting city like that. It's so good to be somewhere where people can do stuff and start businesses and like build from the bottom up. London is like London. I don't know if either of you have ever been to London. But if you want to know what it's like, do you know Pret?
Yes.
That's London. London is a Pret. It's absolutely shit.
But anyway. It thinks it's great.
It does think it's great.
Because we had the exact same wallpaper that you used to have in here, and we didn't know that, obviously. When we built the studio in Runcorn, I went to the range and went, right, we want some brick wallpaper. That one will do. And just got that. And you changed, because it wasn't this set yet, but it was the one in the middle of the wallpaper we stole and what you've got now. So I didn't even remember that it had been that way. I didn't even think I'd ever been in it, but then I think my very first time on it, I wasn't here for that. But we've kept that aesthetic. So when we've now moved into Liverpool, we're in town now, and we got grey bricks. So instead of wallpaper, we were like, no, we want it to be real brick this time, so it just feels a bit more professional. But we've tried to keep the aesthetic pretty much the same, yeah.
I'm very, very, very impressive. And what really annoys me is hoping you change it up so we could go back, because everyone keeps moaning at us. Like, love that old studio. I'm like, yeah, no, it's all right, sound, yeah. But it's like, good example is that trackie top that Kenny's got on the wall behind you, the 1990 trackie. I've got my dad's one of them from the original. It's vintage.
Yeah,
and I've kept that. And I was like, that'll come back into fashion one day. And it did. But they re-released it. And I just look like I've got this mingy, like, knockoff version of that jacket. So we can never go... Everyone would just go, why is he copying? Why is he copying? Fucking...
Yes! Yeah,
no, absolutely. Right, so bigger than us, that's why. Right, that is the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Do go and check out Alfie's special, of course, and, of course, Have a Word as well. We've got more chat with these guys. We're going to be answering some random questions, have a general good old chat with them over on Podcast Extra, which is exclusively over on redmenplus.com. Video and in podcast form, so hope to check you guys out over there. Gents, absolute pleasure, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Managed to get me through, and hopefully I've managed to get used through your hangover for a little bit.
Do you know what, I don't feel hungover, I just haven't had enough sleep.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
It's basically the same
thing.
I feel great.
Yeah, good. Pint.
You look spectacular.
Pint. I'm absolutely gasping for a pint.
Alright, so we'll see if we can sort that in a bit. Right, thanks for everyone. See you soon. Ta-da.
Then consider signing up to redmenplus.com. You get everything that's on the website in video, and if you want it, in podcast form. From £5 a month, redmenplus.com. You get 2 free items of merchandise every single season. If you sign up as a club legend, you get 20% discount codes every single month, exclusive discounts from our partners, as well as your name in the credits and each and every Red Men Plus show.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing.
So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.